seemed kind of strange for your son to introduce you, but I've had that done before. I'm blessed to be here tonight, and I know you are the same way. And I want to say right on the beginning, this old year's about gone, but it can be yet a great and marvelous year for you. I'm talking about you. If you're not saved, you've not experienced a new birth, if God comes down and gives you that tonight, you'll go away from here a new person in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like being saved by His grace. He saved my soul when I was 24 years old. And you don't have to know a lot to be saved. I didn't even know a verse in all the Bible. I might know a little bit of some of them, but not a whole verse at that time. And I've wondered, and you will too. If He saves you, you'll wonder why. But there's a real reason. It's by His marvelous grace. That's the only way He saves sinners like we are. Turn with me in the book of Jeremiah tonight for our text, and may the Lord help us as we look again into His wonderful Word. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for Your blessings this year. We're thankful for this night that we're able to come before You. We're able to try to exalt Your wonderful name. What a great God You are to us. And we know You are to Your people everywhere. May You work mighty in our service, Lord. We would like to see sinners saved. And Lord, we just leave it in Your hands, but we pray for each one here that doesn't know what I was talking about there in the beginning. May they leave here knowing, and not only will they know a little, Lord, but as time goes on, they can grow in grace and reach out and know more about You, be able to serve You and bring honor and glory to Your name. Thank You for the future that waits for us through Your wonderful love and mercy to us. Reach down and touch each heart in the way that is pleasing to You tonight in this service. Help each speaker, Lord, that stands behind this sacred pulpit to try to bring forth Your Word. Help me, Lord. I'm weak, but You're mighty. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to look with me at one verse here in Jeremiah chapter 23 in the Old Testament. And I'd like to read verse 29. Here the prophet said, and he's speaking for God, and he said, "Is not My word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces?" I'd like to speak to you about God's fire and God's hammer. Now, there's a great many pretenders in our time, and there's a lot of people that are hypocrites. They're not possessors of His grace. And this was the same way that it was in Jeremiah's time, in the old time. There's a lot of hypocrites and a lot of people that didn't know, but yet they pretended to be people of God. And even the preachers pretended, a lot of them in this time. The true prophets God had at that time said, "Thus saith the Lord." But they were not the only ones that said that. The false prophets copied from them, and everything they said to the people, they said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, this was a hard time for Jeremiah when this would happen. This is a rough time for us as God's Word. We try to bring the truths of God to the people, and yet there come false teachers behind and try to tear up everything that we say. And we see that more and more as time goes on. But here, we notice here, the false prophets, the results were not the same. All they did was harden the people. And not only that, they embarrassed Jeremiah. He was called a weeping prophet. He was touched by all these things. Embarrassed him so much, those false prophets, that he was almost ready to quit preaching. It got that bad for him. But the Lord come down and touched his heart at that time that he needed. But anyway, this not only grieved Jeremiah, and it grieves us when we see these very same things, it grieved the Lord also. They pretended to speak under their inspiration, and they said, "We feel the burden of the Lord." But they didn't feel the burden of the Lord. They were just trying to do what they did to get something out of it for themselves. Now, he gave also a great instruction in the very verse ahead of where I take my text tonight. Because notice what he told the people here in the verse 28. The Lord asked, "What is the chaff to the wheat?" Now, he's saying what the false prophets say, they were nothing but chaff that the wind blows away. It wouldn't stay there. But what Jeremiah, the true prophet, spoke was as wheat. And he told them that you listen to the false prophets. They may have a fine way of speaking, but they're fooling you with the things that they say. And a few verses over further in the book of Jeremiah, we find what really happened when the people listened to those false prophets. They found themselves down in Babylon for 70 years of captivity. And I tell you, it was a sad time for Israel then. It said they hung their harps up on the willow. They couldn't sing those marvelous old songs of Zion. I was sitting there and rejoicing at the songs that we were able to sing. There might not have been a lot of them, but there was a lot of truth in the things that we said from those songs that we were able to feel in our heart. Now he says, "I say to you, is not my word like as fire?" In other words, he's saying, my word, when it comes to you, it'll not be a thing of beauty so much as it'll come to you with force and energy. That's a great difference in the false things and the things that are true. Now, the word of God has within it a burning, consuming force. And I tell you, it has special power. He said, my word will be known from the word of man. You'll be able to know the difference, what I say and what they say. That's not true. It has a breaking force as a mighty hammer when you smite a rock again and again, and the solid rock is compelled to yield when it comes to you in force. The false prophets, yeah, they're very pleasing. They're flattering. But there's no force behind their word when it comes to you. The false prophets, they flatter the people. Now, they also make the people vain. How do you make them vain? They go on in their sins. When people hear the truth and they go on in their sins, they are fooling themselves and they're living a lie. And that's what he's saying here in these verses. When God spoke by his servant Jeremiah, though, it was like a fire that swept through the people. Now, think about human nature. It doesn't like that. It doesn't like what the truth of God really is. But I tell you what, that's what we need. It's what you need tonight. You need the truth of God because the truth shall set you free. And that's the only thing that will do that. It's like a mighty man lifting up a mighty sledgehammer and breaking rocks. Now, the message did not comfort the ungodly. If you're here living an ungodly life, what I have to say to you won't bring much comfort to you. If you're not ready for change. But thank God for those that are ready for change. Now, I want us to notice three things in this verse. First of all, the Word of God has power in it. And then, I want to illustrate this statement that I made. And then I want to put it to a practical test. These things are for our everyday learning. It's something that we need all the time. First of all, tonight, the Word of God has power in it. God Himself said it's like a fire. He said you don't need to garnish the truths which are revealed here in this wonderful book. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad I don't have to try to find something fancy to say. I just want to tell you by God's help what He says in His Word. And that's all I need to tell you. He's called me to preach the Word. And He's told me to be instant in season and out of season. Preach the Word. Reprove, rebuke. Because it has a power behind it. Now the truth, it has the truth that the Holy Spirit is made known to the sons of men. And I tell you, that's why the Word of God has power tonight. Because it becomes the sword of the Spirit of God. And when it's in His hand, that's when things happen. That's when He gets down inside of us and tells us what we need and asks us what we need to do. Now, also, people of God in times of sorrow needs the Word of God. It's a fire. It becomes a lamp for the very darkest night that we're faced with in this world. It becomes a lamp. It comforts us also. We need that. It encourages us. And we're living in bad times, perilous times, and we need to be comforted as the people of God. We need to be cheered on to victory because of the way things are. Now, I'm not going to tell you things are going to get any better out here right now. It's going to get worse before it gets better. All of us that study the Word knows that there's a terrible time coming on this world. One of these days when the Antichrist comes along, they'll listen to him. You see, we need to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, the Word, when it has power, it becomes a fire in the very winter of our discouragements. Have you ever been more discouraged in your Christian life than we are now? I hope you don't, but I find it awful hard sometimes and mighty discouraged. I know that it's my fault that I do, but yet I'm honest in saying that as we don't see God saving many people. We don't see the things that we once did when we were in the ministry. I started in the ministry and A lot of times you'd see, have revivals and find 10, 15, 20 people make professions of faith. We don't see that anymore, do we? I know I hadn't seen it. I'm glad when I see one. And I know that's a great thing. Just one soul that's saved by His grace. When we hear the glorious gospel, it lifts us up from our discouragement. We learn that it's worth living for. And I tell you what, it's worth suffering for as well, you see. The Bible says, happy are the people that know the joyful sound. Oh, how great it is. You know, here's a verse that's a great fire to warm by. Psalm 48 and verse 14 said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. That's the kind of God we need. That's the kind we have if we have the great Jehovah God. Oh, He's great. Here the fires that work very moderately when it brings comfort to us. It has the effect of painting also, an effect of arousing. You know, you can put your finger in the fire. You can't leave it there long because it will burn. Unconverted men does not, they do not know the power of the gospel of God. That's why they don't like to go to church. Tom's talking about people won't be everywhere else. Why? Because they don't like the gospel preached to them if they're lost. I tell you what, the gospel will singe you and it'll scorch you. Sometimes the gospel's most beneficial to people when it excites their wrath. I've heard of people say when they go to church, the preacher, he said, I'll never go hear that preacher again. But what happened next Sunday? They go hear him again. Because God's working behind the things that are done there. The gospel of Christ will make you angry at yourself or make you angry at your sin. One of the two. It's like a fire that pains and startles and awakens us. I remember the first time that I felt the power of God, and I was about 18 years old. I went to church one of those big Sunday days where they held dinner on the ground. I got in there, and a preacher started preaching. The Spirit of God got a hold of this sinner. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to run out of that building as fast as I could go. By the grace of God, I stayed on until it was over. But as soon as it's over, I hit the door. And I didn't come back for a while either. Because I felt the power of God. I hope you do that tonight if you've not been changed in your heart. Because it takes that. Men cannot sleep with their finger in the fire. You know it. You may be used to going to sleep, but you won't go to sleep tonight if the Holy Spirit gets down in your heart and touches you just right, you see. Also, the gospel has a melting power. Under the Holy Spirit influence, I've seen hard hearts tremble. You know what? I've seen grown men stand up and catch the back of the seats in the church and just shake. Why? Because of the power of the Spirit of God. That's the only reason and the only way. But that way man knows that it's not just the preacher talking when that happens to him. They know there's something different. And I hope you'll leave this place tonight knowing that God is real, that He's on the throne, that He asked you to come to Him because He's the only way to be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by Me. And the gospel has a consuming power. You know, the early churches was known by their converts. You know, the gospel can save real sinners. They can save drunkards. They can save people on drugs. Now, a few years ago, I worked at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and a young man, they started working across the aisle from me, and he didn't know anything about his machines. And every time I'd get a chance, I'd help him. I knew he didn't know, and I wanted to be a help to him, a friend to him. He come to me one day, and he said, I hear you're a Baptist preacher. I said, yeah, I am. He said, I'm on drugs. He said, it's going to take my mind away from me unless something is done. I said, well, I don't know a lot to tell you, but I know one person can help you, and he's the only one. I got a little church out here in the country. I'd like you to come Sunday. He said, preacher, I'll be there. You know how that goes. But you know, come Sunday, here he comes. Come Sunday night, he's back again. And the next Sunday, he came. At the end of the service, he came confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still a member today of my home church up in Illinois. And one of the best Bible teachers you'll ever find. You know, when God works that way, just in one person, I think how great He is. to be able to turn someone around like that. Oh, yes, he's had problems like all of us, but so far, by the help of God, he's staying in service for him and working for the Lord. Our text says that God's Word is like a hammer. It's like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. Now, this tells us how we're to preach and how we're to teach. How? How are we to use the Word of God? We're to strike with all our might. That's what he's telling us here. Use the Word. You know, it doesn't take much education to use a hammer. Do you know that? I could use a hammer before I ever knew anything about education. See, a lot of people's all bound up in these things. But I tell you what, the Word tells you what you need. A stone breaker. You don't need to one just with a fancy hammer, a handle. A lot of people try to say, well, you couldn't break rocks unless you put a mahogany handle in it. It doesn't matter what kind of handle's in it. Just hit the rocks and it'll break them. And that's the way we're to do with the Word of God. Many tries to improve, but I tell you, there's enough right here. The hammer is made for striking and not an ornament. But you say, well, somebody will ridicule me. Well, let them scoff. Never mind. Keep on sowing the seed. You're not going to reap a big crop unless you sow some seed out there. Almost anybody can know that, can't you? You know, a lot of time we're all lost in this soul winning thing, you know. You know what that was for? To exalt the preacher. That's about all that ever amounts to. You go to the woman at the well, you know, the Lord told his disciples he'd let them reap where somebody else has sown. And I tell you tonight, if you're saved, somebody else back yonder sometime probably sowed the seed before I ever get a chance to sow. But I tell you, it's good when you're able to see it garnered in, aren't you? So we're talking about the things of God and how great they are. Now notice here also, put these two things together, the fire and the hammer. We want to use it on His people first. He puts us in the fire of the Word. He melts us and He subdues us. And then He takes us out of the fire and He uses the hammer on us. You know, I used to work in a place where we called it was a heat treat, where they heated metal. They'd put it in that fire and it'd get red hot and they'd take it out. A man would take a hammer and just make it any way he wanted to, any shape, as long as it was hot. That's the way the Lord does us. He just shapes us any way He wants us to be, you see. And that's the way He used the Word. Now let's illustrate this statement by noticing a certain part of God's Word that's a fire and a hammer. Now a large part of the Word of God, we see the revelation of His law. Now, if the law of God is faithfully preached, what a fire it is and what a hammer it is. And I tell you, the divine law demands from us an entire, unreserved yielding of body and soul and all our faculties and powers to God and His service. That's what the law calls for. Now, what was the sentence of the law? Cursed, in Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. See, that's why you can't be saved by the law. You can't keep on doing them, and you've already broken them back sometime in the past. The violation of a single precept of the law of God exposes Himself to the displeasure of the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. What a tremendous blow. The law will justify no man till he keeps it perfectly. The law condemns every man who has violated it but once. The law also demands death as the penalty for each offense that he has broken. Now, the law casts man in prison, and he can't come out till everything's paid. That's what the law does. Thank God for grace. Oh, how marvelous it is. There's no teaching, though in all the world, that's so terrible as the proclamation of God's law. Why? Because James said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of breaking all of it. I wondered what that meant for a long time. And then one day it just dawned on me what he's trying to say. He's saying, my law stands all together. You can't separate it. That's why. And that's why when you break one, you've broken all of His law. Now, the law wasn't made for you to be saved anyway. The law was like an x-ray. It shows you, though, what you need. But it doesn't do that. It takes the gospel then to save you. There's no firework and hammer like the teaching then of the gospel. You know, men are sometimes they're not moved at all by the law. And then they are won to God by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of free grace and dying love is full of forgiveness for the greatest sinner. Isn't that a fire to warm by? Oh, how great that it is. Immediate, unreservable pardon given in a moment to every sinner who believes in Christ. That's a fire to burn up all the sinner's opposition that he can put against it. The gospel of redemption through the precious blood of the Lamb. What a great gospel it is. You know, the ransom price has been paid for the elect of God. And also, therefore, whosoever believeth in Jesus is freed not only from the law, but freed from the guilt and free from hell itself. That's how free that it is. Notice with me for just a minute about the gospel found over in 2 Timothy in the Word of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, and verse 9 first, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, this is what the gospel, the old story, the story of the cross, has more power to melt the hearts of men than all the stories that have ever been told in this world. Then, let's put our text to a practical test for just a few minutes here. Let us try to look at ourselves for a minute. Are you cold-hearted today? Why are you cold-hearted? Look, you got fire to warm by. You know how to get warm? Get down and take the Bible and read a chapter out of it and sit down and ask God to apply it to your life. I tell you, that'll warm you up. It'll warm you. You'll be trying to say, what does He want me to do here? What is he telling me here? You know, you'll be delighted when you find it's like a fire to comfort and warm you. Why be cold when the Word of God is like a fire? This Word is by inspiration of God. You say, preacher, how do you know? I know it is. You know why? Because it inspires me. That's how I know that it's real tonight. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It'll make you reflect the character of God in your life. That's what it'll do. Now let us try to use it on others for a minute. There are many people we say, well, no need to talk to them. They won't listen. I can't do anything here. People are too hard. Now, have you been fully brought under the influence of the gospel? What about our own children, our grandchildren? I got some marvelous grandkids, and I pray for them, too. I may not as much as I ought to, but I pray for them because I like to see God save their souls and use them for His glory, you see. You say, have you really spoken to your children, your grandchildren, plainly to them about their souls? Have you? Sometimes it's easier to talk about to everybody else's rather than our own, isn't it? You say, well, I've talked to mine a little, but they won't listen very much. You know what happens there? You thought you were going to burn them without the fire, didn't you? That's what happens when we get that way. And these thoughts are there. You thought you needed something more gentle than the gospel to preach to them, talk to them about, didn't you? I know. You think, just think for a minute. Not, it's just a plain, I made quite a few Baptist church mad at me when I told them this. You know what? You know why they have a children's church? Because they think their children needs a more gentle gospel than the ones revealed in the Bible. But I want to tell you, my friends, tonight, there's only one gospel. No matter what your age is, that's the only gospel you're going to hear. See what I'm talking about? We see that, don't we, around us. People say, there's no good to be done here. The Word of God is like a shot fired from a great cannon. It destroys everything that opposes. That's why Paul said, preach it in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And he knew when the Spirit of God yielded it, it would bring honor and glory to God. And it'll still do the very same thing. We'll have to say all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I believe it'll be that way. But oh, when He takes it and He touches you down in the heart, that's a different story. I've experienced that, and I've seen it experienced in a lot of people's lives. I'm getting old. That's why I guess I've seen a lot of it. When you get on up our age, we've seen some things, even though we hadn't nearly seen as much as we'd like to see. We felt things and know it's real. We hadn't felt the power of God like we'd like to, though, have we? But oh, may He, just in the service, may, you know, He could start a revival in this country, sweep it over the disusing people like us here tonight, if we use the fire and the hammer of God. God bless you.